final segment of the evening. We've had a pretty entertaining show all the way around, I would think. Taryn Schaefer, Jeff Gordon, Brett Okamoto talking about the McGregor-Mayweather fight, which is kind of one of those things that it seemed like everybody wanted, and now that we have it, now everybody is disgusted that we got it. It's kind of like everybody wants to go eat like a whole half gallon of ice cream, and then you do, and then after you do, you're like, what did I just do?
I'd say Tuesday's show was like a 1980s movie. Today's show has been like a mid-90s movie.
I got you.
So, you know, technically
1980s.
Technically
like Tuesday.
Superior. The audio quality was a lot better, I thought, too. So technically superior. The audio quality was a lot better. No plot holes, nothing like that.
So much better show overall.
Tuesday was, in your opinion,
yes.
Tuesday was kind of like, you know, Weird Science.
A little bit, yes.
Okay, and today was more...
I don't know if Tuesday was Weird Science up to that level. I think Monday was a Weird Science day. I think yesterday might have been a poor quality version of the Breakfast Club kind of day.
I got you. And then today...
Like where the tracking's off?
Sure. And then today was more kind of like a Usual Suspects kind of rounders.
Quick question.
Yes.
I'm not that much older than Giamatti, but really quick. When I said the tracking was off in reference to that movie... This is like a prelim for our new trivia segment. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say the tracking?
This is actually a good question.
It's when their mouth is moving, but words are coming at a different rate.
Not with VCRs. I almost couldn't come up with the acronym.
The technology,
for it.
Yeah.
VCRs, no. The tracking is that's no.
What is it?
It is. I guess technically it is kind of a hard thing to.
I'm an audio.
It's basically talking about the speed of the tape.
The speed of the tape. Essentially, when the tracking was off on VCRs, that's when you'd get that weird line in the middle that would kind of screw up the picture and distort it. The movie's still running, but kind of the picture's distorted and stuff like that. That's the tracking.
It is
kind of hard to explain exactly what that means.
Yeah.
Because now everything's digital. You know, back then everything was analog. Now everything's digital.
Oh, yeah. I used to have a VCR. I used to watch VHS all the time.
But I remember back.
Tell you what that is,
I remember when I was a kid, we didn't have cable because we lived out in the middle of nowhere. There was no cable option.
Not even one through five or anything.
No, like that? I mean that's regular over-the-air TV. Yeah, we had an antenna for that, but I mean I didn't have cable until I went to college, and you could get like a big, huge satellite dish, but at the time, I mean, my parents didn't have the money for that, so we would bootleg movies all the time. And what you would do is you would go and you would rent like Lethal Weapon, and then we would go over to like my uncle's house, and we would like, you know, bring our VCR, they would have their VCR, and we would watch Lethal Weapon while recording it at the same time.
That's so great.
So you would get like this bootleg copy of like Crocodile Dundee. And what he was talking about, like, with the tracking being off, the video distributors, they got smart and realizing that people were doing that. So if you try to bootleg it, the picture quality would be terrible.
Really?
And sometimes if you could play with the tracking, maybe that would get the picture a little bit better. And sometimes the picture would just go like almost completely black. And you're like, yeah, we can't do this one.
Technically, the tracking has to do with the actual control track on the because, you know, the VCR's got the two wheels, obviously. So that's when it's speaking to tracking, that's actually what it's talking about. Mm-hmm. And so I guess it has something to do with that lining up correctly. God, I can't, talking about VCRs, I can't.
So I used to,
it's the most ridiculous
here's
thing.
Here's a good
bootlegging things is ridiculous now. I mean, now we just email them across streaming services and things like that,
yeah.
And across torrents.
Oh, you just find like a BitTorrent site.
Yeah, BitTorrent sites. My big question for you, Bamberger, is what year was the last year you had to use some kind of janky three different tools to put together a mixtape on cassettes?
I never really did that.
You never did that? Okay.
No,
so you never
I never really
but you've
did
heard
that.
The stories having like record like put oh, the yeah, mic up to like your
to,
car
to the radio.
To car speed. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've heard of people doing that,
never caught that?
No,
so
I never did that.
You were making mix CDs?
No, we always bought albums. Still to this day I always buy albums. Very rarely do I put playlists together except like I do for the show. And my Spotify I have all kinds of playlists
saying,
too.
But
I mean that's
albums,
easy now. What's
say,
that?
So you buy albums.
I would buy albums.
They were CDs then?
CDs, whatever. Okay. But
well,
I would
like you were, so
tapes.
You're like,
I would buy tapes.
You'd buy tapes?
I would buy the tapes. Like instead of I'm not going to buy the single. You don't even know what that is.
I obviously know what a single is.
Okay.
You can put context clues and figure out what a single is.
It's not that difficult of a
when
word.
Cassettes
you're right.
When cassettes were the main medium for music and somebody had a single, they put out a single.
Very good. I'm not going to buy like a single of "Here I Go Again" by Whitesnake. I'm going to buy the entire Whitesnake album.
Clearly, you were of the age where you were at one point, you know, rolling with cassettes. So I didn't know if you had to do if you ever put together the mixtape in the classic '80s way.
I mean, I had a lot of friends that did do that, but I never did because I always thought it sounded terrible.
That's true. It did.
And if I liked a song well enough, I would just wait until I had enough money. I would go to the music store or whatever, and I would buy the tape. And there you could listen to it whenever you wanted.
God.
So I recorded it one time.
So much
time.
More complicated.
I never used an actual microphone to do it, but I just popped a cassette in there and clicked record, and it recorded off the radio.
Yeah, like I said, I always thought it sounded terrible, so I never really did that.
It was really bad. But I also recorded movies off from the VHS player. Just click record on there, too. It was always fun.
Yeah, it was.
But like
the things you had to do.
Yeah, but like timing it, you could set a timer. You might as well just be there and watch the movie because the timer was never right.
We had so many bootleg movies when we were kids. So that's a funny thing.
Jesus.
And
no LimeWire back then.
What's that?
No LimeWire back then.
No. Are you kidding me? No, not at all. But we like Crocodile Dundee and Summer School, Golden Child. I mean, and still the funny thing is, like, still to this day, I could probably recite most of those movies by heart. We watched them so many times. Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and Big Al joins us. Good evening, Big Al. How are you, sir?
You know what? My generation kind of effed it up, but your generation really let it go from my dad's generation in Iwo Jima. You guys are lazy. I used to interview O.J. Simpson, Bobby Hall with a Panasonic with a little microphone and put it on a cart for a lot, God's sake.
You talking about like putting together a mixtape?
No, interviews.
Oh, interviews. Well, yeah. I mean, the first radio station I worked at, all the commercials were on a cart, and you had to load the cart into a computer, but still, you had to record everything onto a cart. You couldn't record everything right into the computer, and we had three CD players, and you had to go in there, and you had to put the CDs in there, and then you couldn't hit play. You had to hit pause on the song you wanted, and you had to, you know, you literally had to hit play on the songs. You couldn't just hit a button on the computer screen and all the songs just play on their own. You had to do it manually.
Yeah, you guys had to work a lot harder to put together a mediocre mix of songs for whatever girl you were crushing on at that moment. You guys had to put a lot more effort into that than we did. I mean, I made a mix CD one time, but that was beyond easy. It took me 45 minutes.
I'm glad you brought this up. Big Al, what's the most romantic song you've ever heard in your entire life?
Oh man.
Let's get it on.
Man, that's pretty
Pour sugar on me. Jeff Leppard.
Pour some sugar on me. That's the most romantic song you've ever heard.
When you answer that question, what's the most romantic song you've ever heard, and that's the answer, something tells me you spent an inordinate amount of time in strip clubs.
That's kind of funny. When you, like, how romantic is the line, you got the peaches, I got the cream?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but right. Like, did you every birthday for the last 25 years in a strip club, Big Al?
anything with Barry White, but if you really want to get him worked up, get Def Leppard going, because Twister had his bar out on Wolfram, and every Saturday night
he would bring
me up on stage. I had to hold on to the chair, and he would play it. And if I let go of the chair, I would get beat up. And you don't want to get beat up by Twister. And the girls would absolutely annihilate me to it, and it was fabulous.
To pour some sugar on me.
Clip.
Yes.
Clip that
off. Yes. And one time, this girl was getting so worked up, her boyfriend tried to jump up on stage, and they caught him. Twister carried him on, said, "Nobody swings on Big Al in here. You got that? Don't ever come back." And I'm over his shoulder going, "Yeah."
Was this like back in 1991?
Sounds like he wasn't trying to swing on Big Al. He was trying to swing with him.
No. This was back in probably about 4 years, 5 years ago.
Okay, so 5 years ago, women were still getting worked. Twister's Bar. Women were still getting worked up over "Pour Some Sugar on Me." Now, how old were these women?
I was 49 or so, 48, but I still get them worked up in a frenzy.
Oh, like just by blasting "Pour Some Sugar on Me"?
No, just by showing up.
Oh, just by showing up. I got that. That is true. When I saw Big Al, what was it, a couple of weeks ago at the TMA Live at the Hot Shots in St. Charles, I mean, the women were just clawing all over Big Al. There's a reason why they call him Big Al. That's where they were swinging from. They were swinging from this Big Alanus. Hey,
Biff tackled me, and I chipped his tooth. and Buck Swope goes, "Big Al, that's the second time you've kicked his ass in two times." I go, I don't want to wrestle him.
Thanks for the call, Big Al. Anyway, enjoy your Thirsty Thursday.
Good show, boys.
Thanks, Big Al. Have a great night.
Must be wonderful to be able to start your weekend on Thursday night.
KFNS, I think Big Al's always on a weekend. KFNS is hosting a live version of the number one professional wrestling podcast in the world, Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, the former right-hand man to WWE CEO Vince McMahon. The show will take place at South Broadway Athletic Club from 2 to 4 p.m. before WWE's Money in the Bank at Scottrade Center on June 18th. VIP and general admission tickets are available at notarib.com. Dave the Pipe Labor texting in. And Dave the Pipe Labor, I apologize. The texts are coming in all kind of jumbled. But basically, it sounds like Conor McGregor needs to work on his conditioning because, like what I said with Brett Okamoto, he's only gone a five-round fight one time that went the distance. And that was when he fought the rematch of Nate Diaz. It's the only time he's ever gone five. So
and David Pipeler here comments that he was extremely gassed. He points out Floyd has went 12 rounds against champions, and former champions have tried to beat Floyd, and none have.
Conor's best chance is to knock Floyd Mayweather out early, and I don't know if he's going to be able to do that.
You have come close. Floyd makes it look easy, and trust me, it's effing not.
No,
Floyd will stick
not.
And move, and once Conor starts getting tired, Floyd will step on the gas.
I think one thing we can almost say for sure is that I don't think Mayweather's going to knock out Conor McGregor because Mayweather just doesn't have that kind of power. He never really did, and especially at 40, I don't think he has it.
No,
now.
And I think we can say with the combination of defensive talent that Mayweather has and the lack of boxing skill that McGregor has. I can't see him catching Mayweather. I can't see him.
I can't either.
And so therefore, and he's not going to beat him on points. So literally, I this is a futile effort. But hey, I've done a lot of futile efforts, and none of them have gotten me $100 million. They've all gotten me about six numbers on the phone number.